The Red Rock National Conservation Area is now 25 years old. Its history as a protected site goes back further than that. It was 1936 when it was first recognized as a landmark. Much of Red Rock's history was told in the book Seekers, Saints, and Scoundrels, The Colorful Characters of Red Rock Canyon. One of the book's authors and the book's project director was Chuck Williams. He's also president of the Friends of Red Rock Canyon. Chuck, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, you were with us last August to talk about this very book, but we wanted to bring you back to talk about the 25th anniversary of Red Rock as a national conservation area. Tell us about this area's significance.
Well, it's I think people recognized it from the beginning that that was a special place. And we have meadows in the desert, which is unusual, and a little bit of water. We've got several streams. And so I think people appreciated that, but it was really, like you mentioned, 1936 before people started to say, maybe we ought to protect this area a little bit.
What was the reasoning for that? Why did people say, maybe we need to protect this area?
Well, unfortunately, not everyone took care of the land. It became a lot of abandoned cars. People trashed it out with trash, and it became later on, particularly in the 60s and 70s, quite a party area, which caused a problem.
I guess with that in mind, with that history, does that explain why the additional protection, the naming of it as a national conservation area, was what was needed?
It was. As you mentioned before, it was first actually it has been administered by several different departments over the years. It started out as a fish and wildlife area. And most of what we consider the core of Red Rock that we think of when we see Red Rock stayed in that under Fish and Wildlife until the 1960s. And really, and that's when the 1960s were really a watershed year for the public to start being aware and saying, we need to clean this up. And a lot of the activity as far as protecting it started in the 1960s. And in 1967, it was recognized as a national recreation area managed by the Bureau of Land Management. So that's when the whole process really began.
Who took the bus out of park and put it into drive with us? Because, I mean, very often, you know, the public sees things and would like things to happen, and it just doesn't happen. Yeah. But who helped to make this happen in the late 60s?
You know, we list them in the book. There's so many names, I'm almost hesitant to start because I'll forget someone important.
Just a couple of the important ones, okay. Then.
Howard Booth and Mary Kowalski were two names that had jumped out, and they were I mentioned in the book, Howard Booth. If you were going to war, Howard Booth's the guy you want on your side. When he got a hold of a project, he just got it in his teeth and he didn't let go.
Now, tell us a little bit about who he was, okay. Howard Booth.
Well, Howard Booth is he was a member of the Sierra Club. And he also became involved in there was an ad hoc group that formed to protect it. And he was, as a matter of fact, he was a charter member of Friends of Red Rock Canyon and the first natural resource chair that took care of the trails. But he didn't hesitate at all to contact legislatures, congressmen, mayor, anyone they could get listen to him. He took their ear and told the story about Red Rock.
So he had a big Rolodex, it sounds like.
He did. And Mary Kowalski was, she was actually the first president of Archaeo Nevada, which is still the oldest archaeological society in Nevada, a little sweet lady. And I had the pleasure of meeting both Howard and Mary. And but she, again, was people kind of misunderstood her sometime and thought, well, this little lady can't mean anything, and they ended up maybe with her head on a platter a little bit later because she wasn't afraid to take anybody on.
Now, the 1990 landmark is when Red Rock was named a national conservation area. Right. Talk about that nomenclature, the naming of it as a national conservation area, and what that meant for Red Rock Canyon.
It really offered the final protection we have, Dave. For example, in 1978, oil wildcatters had applied for lease on almost all of Red Rock land, and the Bureau of Land Management actually issued 22 leases for people to drill oil. And the public, I'll say this about Las Vegas, people say we don't have a culture, but when someone messes with Red Rock, it gets people's attention. And in reading the history, one thing that I enjoyed was the Las Vegas Sun and the Las Vegas Review Journal, when this first came out, let's allow drilling in Red Rock. They had editorials, and they both agreed. And, you don't see that often in those two papers. So I thought that's how important it was to everyone. But once it was named the National Conservation Area, oil drilling and mining could no longer happen. So that was very important.
I was surprised to learn in getting ready for this conversation that Red Rock is not administered by the National Park Service.
No.
Who administers it instead?
The Bureau of Land Management. And as you're aware, they also administer about 80% of the land in Nevada because they have all the open spaces. But they have there's three national conservation areas in Nevada, and the BLM also is going to manage the new national monument up in Lincoln County, the Basin Range. So they do get involved in the management of parks.
And the National Park Service actually turned Red Rock down.
They did.
Why would that have happened?
They studied it, and that was back in 1961. And again, the 60s were a big, important decade for us. And they decided that it really didn't fit their mission of what they were, and so they turned it down. And the public then, a lot of the public wanted the state parks to take it over. And
yeah, there was some talk about that, the idea of having Nevada manage that mm-hmm. land, but that didn't happen. What was behind that?
I think money and the fact that they had enough on their plate with the state parks they had. And but they did. There was a time back, even in the 1980s, where they jointly managed the park with the Bureau of Land Management. They split the park up into north and south. And the National Park Service, or I'm sorry, the state parks did administer the southern part of the park. Hmm.
The title of your book, Seekers, Saints, and Scoundrels, mm-hmm. It seems to suggest that Red Rock has attracted more than its fair share of a wide range of characters. What about it accounts for that?
Well, one of our first users of land was a horse thief. It was Bill Williams, who, if you're familiar with Williams, Arizona, he was named after him. But he was basically a horse thief, so we had people like that. And other people, some people like to use the land for their own advantage. And so we have quite a few stories of people that are not only necessarily a bad person, but a colorful person.
So we could say that Williams, Arizona is named for a horse thief.
That's correct. And Howard Hughes was here. Howard Hughes owned some land for a while. And so there was interesting cast of characters.
If anything, that sounds like an understatement. What is it about Red Rock that has so many of us in Las Vegas very possessive about that region? I mean, that's, in my experience in being here, that's a really rare thing. You know, once in a while, you'll have communities that have some kind of a natural area nearby, and they're really, really devoted to it, very possessive of it. And it seems to me that's the case here. What accounts for that?
I know. It's. I always think when I drive out to Red Rock and you come over that last rise and see the escarpment and the red and white rock, it just, I feel better. And I take a lot of pride in, the thing is, it belongs to all of us. You know, the land does belong to all of us. And I think a lot of people really take that to heart. And if somebody throws some trash down or if they do graffiti, they're mad about it.
Yeah. Well, there was the graffiti thing mm-hmm. Several years ago mm-hmm. where the community was just horrified. Mm-hmm. Oscar Goodman is saying, cut their thumbs off. It's all kinds of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We are really attached to this area.
And I think that's good. I'm proud of Las Vegas for being that way.
Mm-hmm. So you're, as the president of the organization, Friends of mm-hmm. Red Rock Canyon, you got involved with Red Rock when you retired. What mm-hmm. drew you to this area?
Well, it was the hiking. My wife and I both loved to hike and just fell in love with the area. And when I retired, we said, we really ought to give something back. And that's when we became involved in volunteering and enjoy it. And so we've been doing it for 16 years. So,
do you have a favorite memory of time you've spent at Red Rock?
There's so many of them. I think when you get to see like a bighorn sheep, you know, you don't see them that often. It's a special moment, you know, to see a wild animal like that and how graceful they are. And the other thing is just you get away from the main trails a little bit, and it's so peaceful and quiet. And what a wonderful place to live, you know.
Chuck Williams is one of the authors of Seekers, Saints, and Scoundrels, The Colorful Characters of Red Rock Canyon. It has been 25 years ago, as of last week, since Red Rock Canyon was designated as Nevada's first National Conservation Area. Chuck Williams, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.